Line hard. She's very genuine, as you've alluded to.
Yeah, we'll look forward to it. August 27. Andrew, thanks for sparing us a few minutes, mate.
No problem. Thank you.
Andrew Forsman with Murray Baker, the trainer of a really talented mare called Mime, M-I-M-E. Just a couple of other snippets for you. Kenny Essent for Gab Engelbrecht is on target to run on Saturday. She had a blood issue with the horse a couple of weeks ago, but that picture now looks fine. They certainly, like so many trainers, don't want too much rain, but at this stage, Kenny Essent to run there on Saturday at Randwick. Mighty Like for Mick Price is going to run on Saturday in the Ori Star in Melbourne rather than the Spring Stakes in Adelaide. Damien Oliver has been booked to take the ride on Mighty Like on Saturday. And talking of Adelaide, the favourite, he's now 9 years of age. He's nearly as old as Sean Cosgrove. I talk of Happy Trails. And Paul Bashara told me this morning the horse has come back as normal in great order. We'll have a couple of barrier trials and we'll run first up in the Maccabi Diva. I think it's about the 10th of September. The 9-year-old Happy Trails back for another spring preparation. That's it for Racing HQ this morning. We're back tomorrow morning with a full 30-minute preview with Ray Thomas and with Paul Joyce looking at Warwick Farm. That track at the moment is a soft 5 with a penetrometer of 5.12. And then on Thursday morning between 9 and 10, Australian Bloodstock's Jamie Lovett's going to be joining us in the studio to talk about Protectionist and so many nice spring horses. And between 10 and 10.30 on Thursday morning on Tab Talk, it's a full 30-minute preview for Coffs Harbour Cup Day. That's coming up all on Thursday morning. Mark Duclos from Going Greyhounds and the Catching Pen will join Sean in about an hour's time. A rally has been organised in support of the greyhound racing industry that's taking place from 11 o'clock this morning in Hyde Park North, a short walk from the steps of Parliament House. They're getting out and about, and Mark Duclos will cover that from a news point of view at 11 o'clock this morning when it's about to begin. So stay tuned. We'll keep you in contact with that. After the break, it's Tab Talk.
Every day from midday on the National Racing Service, Tab Market Movers are a regular success story.
Now here at Morfordville on the next number 9 Rugged Angel, Jason Holder, $11 into $7 is your Tab Market Mover.
Behind those Rugged Angel, it's been a big go on course. It's still Rugged Angel. She's going all the way.
Whether it's thoroughbreds, harness or greyhounds,
you don't want to miss our Tab Market Movers here on your racing leader,
Sky Sports Radio.
Here at Tab, we've set you up with a great chance of converting the extras as we approach the business end of the NRL season. We've got some great NRL offers available on every game right through to round 25, as well as our massive range of markets including head-to-head, first try scorer, and the popular line over-under double. So take advantage of Tab's amazing odds and offers by taking a quick tap on your mobile, jumping on tab.com.au, or stepping inside a Tab venue.
Gamble responsibly. On Sky Sports Radio, the traffic report.
Morning, it's Evan Taylor, recommend North Mead, Windsor Road, approaching Boundary Road, northbound lane 1. We've got a truck breaking down over King George's Road, Taronga Terrace, there at Beverly Hills. That's northbound lane 2. Two-car accident, Anzac Parade, Baronia. There at Kensington, we've got services attending that one, affecting it, northbound traffic. General Holmes, foreshore, still in high demand, out towards that eastern strip at a Moore Park area. Now, the King Living Sale ends Sunday, 50% off selected designs. Don't just buy any sofa. Create a king, visit your nearest King Living showroom. Hurry, sale ends Sunday. I'm Silvio on Sky Sports Radio.
New South Wales Country Racing comes alive at Coffs Harbour this Wednesday and Thursday.
Single Spirit out after Mervate, Single Spirit lands the prize.
Catch all the excitement of the Coffs Carnival featuring Thursday's $85,000 Cup here on Sky Sports Radio.
Joe McKinnon here. Yarramalong Racing Club is the most affordable way to get into racehorse ownership. Have fun. Join me racing 33 horses by stallions like So You Think, Hinchinbrook, Sebring and Stratum. Experience glamour and excitement. Racing with leading trainers Mick Price, Nick Ken, James Cumming, John Thompson, Bjorn Baker and David Van Dyke. Minimum subscription $2,000 with no more to pay. See the Yarramalong Racing Club prospectus online at yrclub.com.au.
Celebrate the Bledisloe Cup Festival by joining us at the Rugby and Racing Luncheon at Royal Randwick this Saturday.
Witness the best of both sports at their finest.
Be part of the Bledisloe experience whilst dining with rugby and racing legends. In support of the Prince of Wales Foundation, you'll experience genuine behind-the-scenes stories and a huge day of racing with special guest Bjorn Baker.
It's on this Saturday.
Book your hospitality now at theatc.com.au. Hurry, seats are limited.
They're off.
Gates open, they're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain.
There it is. Adam Scott, a life changer.
It's the first time he's finished about a GP in Phillip Island. Mark Marquez does it in style down under.
With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
Good morning, everyone. 6 past 10, Sean Cosgrove with you at tab.com.au. Andrew Giorgio. Morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Cosy. How are you?
Good. We're going to have a chat a little later with Jason Collins. He's riding today at Goulburn. A couple of good meetings on today, Cessnock and Goulburn. We'll have a yarn with him. And we'll talk to Matty Russell from Fox Sports in a sec, too, about the footy from the weekend. Mate, the Rabbitohs, what's happening there? That was just, they would have been embarrassed by that, wouldn't they?
Well, the wheels have fallen off big time, haven't they, Sean? And I suppose the most alarming thing from a South's perspective is they won the premiership just 18 months ago.
Yeah,
and
I know.
And how quickly the mighty have fallen, I think that would be the biggest concern for Michael Maguire.
When you look, and I suppose what almost rubs it in a little bit, is when you look at the Cowboys, how they've kept going.
Well, that's right.
There's no sort of premiership hangover, is there?
And it doesn't look like it's going to hit them anytime soon either, Cozzy. I know they got beat on the weekend. That was without Jonathan Thurston, but they were playing probably the form team in the competition as well.
Yeah, and they gave him the rest to make sure he's okay. But, yeah, the Rabbitohs, I mean, it's going to be hard for him to come back. I mean, that's a flogging, 54-4.
Well, that's right. Look, you'd expect some sort of bounce back this week, but in saying that... on paper, there's no way there's a 50-point difference between Souths and Canberra. No way.
Well, they've got the run home. I think they've got Storm, the Warriors, the Sharks, the Knights and the Bulldogs.
Well, there's a real possibility, Cozzy, that for the rest of 2016, Souths will remain winless.
And a lot of those order away games bar the Sharks in round 24, it's a home game.
And all those teams have still got something to play for as well, which doesn't all go well for Souths, because Souths really don't have anything other than pride to play for the rest of the season.
Yeah, very hard. Now, looking at the results from the weekend, actually, Matty Russell joining us now from Fox Sports. Morning, Matty.
G'day, Sean. G'day, Andrew. I tell you what, Andrew Giorgio, he successfully tips draws. He did it last round. Andrew, did you tip these two Golden Point games this weekend?
Well, admittedly, I didn't tip the Warriors game for the draw this week. However, I was mightily tempted to go for the draw last night, and I probably should have, because it was the only game that I got wrong in my tips this week.
Thrilling game of rugby league last night, despite the criticisms of Golden Point. It was fantastic theatre, great football. The Gold Coast Titans continued to impress in 2016. Cronulla, this winning streak comes to an end, but it's a strange ending, isn't it? Because it doesn't end with defeat. So their 15 straight becomes 15 and a half, if you like.
Yeah, it is amazing. The Gold Coast Titans, what's been the secret to them this year, do you think?
Neil Henry has been a big element to that. He is coaching his socks off. He's recruited superbly. Ash Taylor's emergence has been fantastic. You've got the likes of Ignatius Parsi, Leivaha Pulu emerging. They're playing their best football under Neil Henry. Zeb Taylor comes back from overseas and plays great footy. They pick up the likes of Chris McQueen, Ash Taylor from the Broncos, as I mentioned at the start of this answer. So all those ingredients have fallen into place under the studious watch of Neil Henry. So good luck to them. They needed it at the Gold Coast Titans. And we saw last night, Cozzy, the crowd starting to come back. I did a game recently against the Warriors where there was more than 15,000 people. There used to be a time, just as a quick backstory to this, where we would do games on the Gold Coast. When you landed at the airport, they'd roll their eyes about the team and, more importantly, its administration. You'd get in the taxi and the taxi driver would bag the administration of the club. You'd get to the officials at the ground, they'll bag the administration of the club. All of a sudden, that has changed, and people are jumping back on board with the Gold Coast. It's great to see that region starting to embrace the team again.
Mandy, do you think that was part of the reason behind, like, the soccer club up there, they had troubles, and the AFL side did for a while too? It just wasn't that support that people wanted to pot them all the time?
Exactly. And the question then is, well, how do you get that support? The reason is, the way you get it is to buy into the community, to earn the respect of the community. And it's happening from Graham Annesley down, to the coach, to the players. The region knows that this was a team that wasn't tipped to do great things in 2016, but they're trying week in, week out, off the field, under the board and everyone else. The Gold Coast Titans are doing the right things and winning support back.
Matt, on that point where you say that the Titans now have got their administration in order and everyone is now starting to rally behind the Titans up there on the Gold Coast, the same can't be said for St George Illawarra at the moment, because there's just constant criticism of Peter Dowson and his board week in, week out. I know they played very well. They played out of their skin against the Bulldogs on Friday night. But what has to happen for the Red V to get back up among the premiership heavyweights?
Look, I think a lot of it comes back to recruitment. They need to sign some big-name players in the right positions. Over the last few weeks, they just haven't been scoring enough points. They've lost four straight and been kept to 12 points or less in each of them. So straight away, you think, well, they need some dynamic attacking players. And that would be a good place to start. The best way to fix a problem at a football club, in fact, the only way to fix a problem at a football club, is to win. You can't win if you're not scoring points. And the question has to be asked, will they score enough points on Thursday night against the Brisbane Broncos? I'm about to do a segment with Stephen Blocker-Roach, and I'm going to ask him, which bad team plays good, to butcher the English language, on Thursday? Because the Dragons and Broncos are bad at the moment. One of them, you'd like to think, will win on Thursday night. Or will we finish with another draw? Because that's the way retro round finished, and the talking point today is all about Golden Point, isn't it? Because it was farcical. We saw two Golden Point games over the weekend, one in New Zealand, one on the Gold Coast. And in both games, the referees put their whistles away. There were players standing not square at the ruck, hopelessly offside, keeping their hands in the play of the ball. Every single infringement that would normally require a penalty was overlooked. You can sort of forgive the referees. They don't want to be the person to decide a game, and that's what a penalty from in front of the sticks will do. So they can't win. If they put their whistles away, they get criticised for letting the game degenerate. If they were to blow a penalty, there would be some people admire the move, but the vast majority of the population would say, hang on, why are you blowing penalties now? You haven't done it all season. You've decided the game. So how do we solve it? Well, come the finals, we won't have Golden Point. It will be 10 minutes of extra time after which we will then go to Golden Point. So what's going to happen there is, if referees see an infringement, they will blow a penalty, knowing a team can go ahead by two, but the game isn't going to finish there. We'll go to the full 10 minutes of extra time before we hit Golden Point.
Matt, is that likely to be tabled as an alternative to the Golden Point situation during regular time set of now? Will that be something that the NRL will implement from 2017 onwards?
You would like to think so. And it may be varied slightly to incorporate golden try in extra time, whereby you can blow a penalty and send a team ahead by two, but the only way the game is stopped is by a team scoring a try. Now, just to really outline it, during the finals this year, if you score a try in that extra period of time, the game will continue until the 10 minutes of extra time expires. But going forward in 2017, they might just alter that slightly to say, well, rather than having to go the 10, as soon as a team scores a try, we'll finish it there. And that way, referees can blow penalties knowing the game isn't going to stop.
Fair enough. Do you reckon everyone will accept that?
I think so. I'm a fan of Golden Point to the extent that I think we're in the entertainment business. I understand the arguments against it and sending both teams home with a point. But I also understand that kids, mums, dads, anyone who watches footy jumps up and down, screams at the television or from the grandstand when we go to Golden Point. It is exciting theatre. And these days, we need to have a winner, whether you like it or not. So maybe this extra time with a golden try is a way to fix up some of the problems that exist in Golden Point without ditching the concept completely.
It's like going home with a nil-all draw, isn't it?
It is. It's like kissing your sister, Cozzy. Quite the same as the school.
You can tell me about that one day, mate.
Look, I called the Warriors-Panthers game in New Zealand, and that was a case in point as well, where both teams were infringing, and in the end it was Penrith racing up hopelessly offside that allowed Sean Johnson to duck back on the inside, get behind the defensive line and score the Golden Point try. But no team has been to Golden Point in a single season as many times as the Warriors this year. Five times, including four of their last five games, including the last three games in a row. Finally, they win one in Golden Point. They won their first game in Golden Point this season with a try. They win their fifth game in Golden Point with a try. And in between, there was three losses. So forget the Golden State Warriors. Now we've got the Golden Point Warriors.
Matt, the bunker again in the spotlight over the weekend, as well as the match review committee. Thursday night, we saw a try to the Broncos, which many people thought it was a try. It was towards the end of the game. It wouldn't have had a bearing on the result. But again, they came up with a no-try ruling. And then on Friday night, we saw Josh Reynolds with an alleged trip getting off. But then we see Tyson Brazil getting 1 week suspension, possibly, for touching the referee.
And the bottom line, Andrew, is that fans are throwing their hands up in the air. When I watched that Herman Essiesi try from the sideline at Allianz Stadium in actual speed, I had no doubt that momentum continued in the tackle, actually assisted by the two defenders who were trying to hold him up. They turned him over into the in-goal area. When you watch the try frame by frame in ultra slow-mo, yes, maybe it does lend itself to looking like double movement, but when you see the try unfold to the naked eye, it was a water try on field by the referee, and then you have so many experts saying that's a try. He didn't reach out with a classic double movement. He was twisted into the in-goal with natural momentum. It should have been a try, even though the NRL find underway to argue that it was the right ruling. Then you come back to those two incidents you mentioned, and I understand that you can't touch referees, but surely we've got to apply some common sense that it was like Tyson Brazil was ushering himself past an old lady in the shopping centre. Excuse me, I'm just coming past here. Mm. It was such a delicate nothing touch that you then applied that black and white rule, touching referee, bang, hit with a charge. I just don't know whether we can be that black and white. Making it even harder is the fact that a trip, which is once regarded as an automatic send-off, in fact it was, results in, yes, a charge, but no suspension. That doesn't make sense to the fans. We've got to work out a way to be a bit more sensible about the way we're punishing players and have a bit more consistency. And as keeps getting raised, we have this fine option. If Tyson Brazil was hit with a $1,000 fine, then we'd probably let it float away and not worry about it. And that's what should have happened.
Matty, do we have to start to bring intent into it? I mean, you look sometimes that, yeah, you shoved a ref out of the road, but when someone accidentally, as you said, brushes and it wouldn't have swatted a fly, I mean, there's no intent there, really, is there?
You're right, but then what happens when a player comes over, very politely puts his hand on the referee's shoulder and starts to argue a point? You don't really want to see that touching. So, as I said, black and white works to a certain point, but then you have that Tyson Frizzell incident, and you think, well, hang on, now I want a bit of grey. So I can understand the difficulty in coming up with it, and maybe if we say, do not touch the ref, black and white, if you do, there's going to be a financial penalty for a little while, then players will still get the message and will cut back on it, but you won't be missing games or paying such a significant price for it.
All right, now Thursday, Dragons and Broncos, I mean, what is it, flip of the coin?
Yeah, I've gone with the Broncos just because they get Gillett, Thaiday, Maguire back. Dragons haven't scored more than 12 points. I don't know whether 12 points will be enough to beat the Broncos. Mind you, Brisbane's defensive woes, they've conceded 30 points or more in their last five games. So if the Dragons are going to rack up a score, you'd think it might be this Thursday night. Still, it's Brisbane for me. Andrew, what are the punters saying early on about that game?
Well, our guys have got Brisbane at $1.26, while the Dragons are $4 outsiders. Being a biased St. George Illawarra supporter, I'd be very tempted to take the $4, simply because of what you just said. The Broncos' defence has really let them down over the past sort of 5 to 6 weeks.
And it is being played at Wynn Stadium Wollongong, where the Dragons have a decent record, and they are stinging from all this criticism, so there's motivation for the Dragons as well. It's a tough game on Thursday night because of how bad both teams are going, but I'm not going to be swayed. I'll stay with Brisbane. And on Friday night, Parramatta hosts the Sea Eagles. The Sea Eagles having won four in a row now, so this sniff of finals gets a little bit stronger. I think Manly, despite the fact they're on the road, can win that one as well.
Well, how brave have Parramatta been? I mean, like, they're out of finals contention now, and we've gone through all the dramas that they've had both on and off the field. At that $3 quote, which we have them to win on Friday night, and Manly are $1.40, I think the Eels are tremendous value, but I think I'm going to go with you, Maddie, and say that Manly have probably got a little bit too much in the tank for them.
Yeah, and the first game on Super Saturday is easy. Newcastle at home against the Dogs. There'll be no love for Newcastle on this horrible losing streak. 13 in a row now. 14 losses in a row is the record in the NRL era set by West in 98-99. You'd think that they will equal that, Newcastle, by being beaten by the Dogs. But then it gets interesting on Super Saturday. Sharks at home against Canberra. Canberra on a real roll now. We saw them beat South Sydney by 50 points. Quite incredible. They've won five in a row, the Raiders, and they travel to Cronulla to play the Sharks, who are off a short turnaround, compounded by the fact that went to Golden Point. This streak has been snapped, albeit with a draw. I think that Sharks' home record, unbeaten home record, is in danger. I'm tipping Cronulla, but I'm not confident. I think the Raiders can go there and cause an upset. But if I had to put my life on it, I'll go with Cronulla.
$1.40 for you, Maddie. The Raiders are at $3. I think that market will change. I think the prices will get a little bit closer to game time.
Yeah, and then we finish Super Saturday with Melbourne against the Rabbitohs. The Rabbitohs on an 8-game losing streak. Melbourne surely will be too professional to be upset by South Sydney. And the Storm will take another step towards the minor premiership, maybe. On Sunday, it's interesting, the Titans against the Warriors, because both of these teams are on the fringe of the top eight. The Warriors defensively have really improved this season. And I mentioned last week, they haven't been beaten in regulation time since round 11. So there are some good signs from the Warriors. And as inconsistent and as horrible as they've been in terms of letting punters down, I'm tipping the Warriors to go to Gold Coast and win.
Right. What about the Tigers and Cowboys?
Yeah, we'll be on JT watch again this week. I'm not convinced he's going to play, but he's a bigger chance to play in my mind this week than last week. And reportedly, he was very close against Melbourne. So if JT plays, I think the Cowboys can get the Tigers. But at Leichhardt at 4 p.m, it's going to be interesting. And it will be interesting to see who the Tigers name to replace Luke Brooks at halfback. Does Robbie Farah come back into the team? Some educated souls say that's unlikely. So is it Jack Littlejohn who comes in? Do they maybe move Moses into half and put Chris Lawrence at 5'8"? JT will reveal all when the team comes out a little bit later on. Well, maybe he'll reveal all. You could put the team out and make changes later on. But Cowboys for me, Cozzy. Long answer, I know.
That's all right. And then Monday, Panthers and the Roosters.
Yeah, the Panthers, they're at home. More to play for. The Roosters are fantastic in beating Brisbane, which seems like an eternity. You go 32-16 to start retro round, but I think the Panthers should get the job done. Their stats against the Warriors at times were diabolical, yet they went to Golden Point. I couldn't work out how Penrith stayed in that game, but full credit to them, and with finals to play for, they should be too good for the tricolours.
$1.60 the Panthers, $2.40 for the Roosters.
And just quickly, Andrew, with the Sharks having a draw last night, what does that do to the minor premiership market? Maybe the premiership market affected as well by that Golden Point draw.
Well, the premiership market, we've got the Melbourne Storm as 350 favourites. Cronulla haven't moved. They're still at $4 second pick. While in the minor premiership market, the Sharks are still $1.60 favourites and Melbourne are $2.30.
Where are Cozzy's Queenslanders in all this? Are they anywhere prominent? They're on the slide, are they?
Not looking good for the Broncos, I tell you.
The Cowboys are your best chance.
Yeah, I think so.
And the Gold Coast Titans, won't it be a triumph if they make the eight, Cozzy? You'd be a proud Queenslander for their sake.
Yeah, well, it's good for the club if they can. I mean, that's the thing. You just want to see them get a good foothold in there.
And you know what? It's fantastic for the league as well, because it wasn't that long ago that the Titans were in real danger of failing to exist, of being moved to WA or New Zealand or a second Brisbane franchise coming in. So I'm happy for rugby league as a whole that finally the sport seems to have a strong grip in the Gold Coast region. The glitter strip, you know all about it, Cozzy, don't you?
Remember Bruce Small on the Meter Maids? That was just gaudiness at its worst, wasn't it, really?
Melbourne's, you've been there often?
But no.
That band's still in place, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Good on you, Matty. I've never liked you.
See you, boys.
See you later on, Matty. Matty Russell there from Fox Sports joining us there with his look at Rugby League for the week, 25 past 10 at Sky Sports Radio. Jason Collick joining us in just a moment. We've got racing today at Goulburn and also Cessnock. And, of course, then tomorrow we've got the big day, 2 days, the Coffs Carnival coming out there. Look forward to catching you tomorrow morning at Coffs for the breakfast they have there, which will be beauty. Pumper Cassidy along and a few of the other sporting superstars as well. But here is a superstar of the running ranks. Did you know that, Andrew Giorgio? Jason Collett. Now, I'm pretty sure he ran a half marathon on the weekend. He's with us now. Morning, Jace. How are you?
Morning, guys. Yeah, good, thanks.
You ran a half marathon the other day, didn't you?
Yeah, Sunday morning. I was up nice and early and did a half marathon, yeah.
You haven't heard of public transport, Jace?
Definitely a lot easier.
I reckon. Hey, how'd you pull up after it?
Not too bad. The calf muscles are still a bit tight today, but actually pretty well off, really, from what others have said after they did the first half marathon.
Did you find there was a point in it where you thought, gee, this is getting a bit tough, or was it just sort of tough all the way?
Probably about 5K from the finishing line. I felt like Usain Bolt before that, but 5K from home, I started tying up, and the guy I was trying to hunt down and pass, he got away from me, so that was a bit of a, yeah, it was good, but yeah, hard work.
All right, well, a great effort. Good on you. Now, interesting today, in the first, you're on one here, Autumn. Now, this is an ex-Kiwi. You put Kiwis together, you know you've got trouble here, Jace. Now, looking at this, it ran in December and January, sort of 14-15, had a let-up, one run, let-up, had one run the other day. What do you know about it?
I had a look at his New Zealand runs. They were quite good. I thought the first run wasn't too bad. We do step up to the mile today, so that's got to suit more. More in its distance range for him.
All right. Apocalypto for John Thompson in the second. You rode this two starts ago.
Yeah, I rode him first up. He was well under that day, so he's now third run up, so I think he'll be hard fit, ready to go. I thought the run the other day was pretty good. He seemed to find the line nice. Gets up to the mile today, which is going to suit him. Doesn't have a big field and a pretty even field at that, so he looks a good chance.
All right, the third, you're on a first start of the Hunter. They put a lugging bit on and the tongue control bit on as well, but you've trialled this.
Yeah, I trialled him about a month ago, Danny. He's a nice horse. He was pretty underdone that day for the trial, so it's had a month to get him ready for this, so... Expecting a good run from him today.
All right, the fourth, Ebenezian, and you. It's first up. You did ride this back in September at Goulburn.
Yeah, I had a look back through and had a look at its replays and noticed that. So yeah, first up today. 1200, no doubt, one of Danny's. It should be fit and ready. Hasn't had a trial to date in public anyway. That been able to watch, but just have to go and trust. Yeah.
All right, Tallahassee in race 5. This is another one for Danny. You've drawn the rails. You've ridden it its last start, and they put the blinkers on today.
Yeah, quite like the source. Comes in quite nice in the weights here, albeit a class 1, and he is a maidener. He's got the 54, which I'll get down to, and it is. There's a couple of handy horses in it. Saying that, Amanda Turner's horse, Magic Dust, won quite well first start. Nicola's horse has been thereabouts, and same as Matthew Smith. So it's definitely no easy kill, that's for sure. But from that gate, she get a really soft run, 54 kilos on its back, put on. I like his chances a lot.
All right, race 6, Lennox Road for John Sargent. 1,300, first start. It's got blinkers on, crossover noseband, the lugging bit. So obviously, hoping you would think with all that, first up might run a bit of a race.
Yeah. Quite liked his trial, two trials back. His last trial was quite disappointing. I thought at Wyong, but hopefully, you know, something wasn't right that day. Because if you go off that first trial, this prep, he'd be very competitive in this. Obviously, the O'Shea run is going to be tough to beat from up top there. So him and Vinnie Power, but no doubt Sarge will have this horse ready. So.
All right, and then the last, John McCurry, you know a fair bit about this. You've ridden this quite a bit in the last prep.
Yeah, with David Van Dyke used to train it and had a fair bit of success on it, actually, both her wins. So she's second up today. I rode her in both her trials so far this time and just did ride her first up. She battled away that day. She does have to put on today too, so that's something which people should be taking note of. Expecting a good run for her. It's a pretty even field, in my opinion.
What's your pick today of your rides, Jase?
Tough one. I quite like quite a few of them, to be honest. I think they're all got a chance. With Danny Williams as runners, I guess it sort of depends how fit they are, which I don't really know. That's the thing. So I probably maybe lean to the horse in the first race, Matty Dale's horse.
All right, terrific. Well, look, good luck today. You'll probably be in there psyching yourself up, have the Chariots of Fire theme going, the whole lot. Marathon man watching that before you go out. And congrats on that, too. Great effort completing the half marathon, too, Jase. Good luck today.
Thanks, Scotty.
Good on you, mate. Jason Collett joining us there. Good effort running the half marathon. He's got some nice rides today there, Andrew, as we wrap up.
Yeah, that's right, Cozzy. Autumn, which he did point out as one of his best, 350 into threes in the opener, while Tallahassee in the fifth, 460 into 380 in the early market.
Good on you, Andrew. We'll talk to you through the day.
See you, Cozzy.
Thanks a lot. It's 29 to 11 Sky Sports Radio.
Saturday, August 6 is Jockey Celebration Day, held nationally to celebrate the achievements of former and current jockeys and commemorates those who have lost their lives. The National Jockeys Trust provides support and financial assistance to jockeys experiencing times of crisis. We're encouraging all punters to support the cause by making a donation at njt.org.au. That's njt.org.au. At Bing Lee, buy any LG washing machine and receive a bonus year supply of coal power washing powder. A fantastic bonus from LG and Bing Lee. Conditions apply. See binglee.com.au or in store for details.
On your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for On the Pace.
Getting on Sunset in front of Acacia Ridge. Sundown's Gift going roughly. Sundown's Gift broke out, but it's Getting on Sunset
racing
in front.
Leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for On the Pace.
Sprinter down the outside, finishing brilliantly. Look at Sprinter.